This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Good morning to you, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. I'm Doug Gottlieb, my guy Dan Byers alongside Jason Stewart, of course, on the ones and twos. And we are, you know, Dan, it's interesting. You and I both have, you probably more so than me, but we both have an infatuation with game shows, especially Price is Right. I know your Price is Right. And have you noticed that with holidays, it's like the Price is Right. Once you go over, there's no going back. Right? Like if I walked down the street today and I walked up to somebody and I said, hey, man, happy Thanksgiving. They'd look at you like you had three heads. Right? Or if I walked up today and I said, hey, Merry Christmas. Like, oh, you know what? Merry Christmas to you, too. Both are very cordial greetings. They carry no, it's not like you're asking anybody for money. There's no nothing to it. But we are, you know, I mean, I don't know how many hours, depends on where you are, 9 or 6 hours from Thanksgiving actually ending. But no one wishes anybody happy Thanksgiving. By the way, Dan, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. You'd have a better chance of getting a smile on August 3rd saying happy Thanksgiving than today.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's the $1 bid.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving? Good?
It was good. Spent it at the Fox Sports Radio Studios for the afternoon and then had a nice dinner with the family and watched the Seahawks get bludgeoned by the Niners. So that's basically what it was. Basically, I had the almost exact same Thanksgiving as turkeys did on Thursday.
You live to tell about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Little difference. People weren't picking at your body. I will tell you, I absolutely crushed cooking the turkey this year. You know, it was a lot of pressure. My son was like, Dad, you can't burn the turkey. I said, well, we didn't burn the turkey. He's like, Dad, come on. So I cooked the turkey on a smoker, and that way I could just do everything else I wanted to do during the day, and it was great. So a smoked turkey for Thanksgiving was
on the egg.
I did do it on the big green egg.
All right.
Did it on the big green egg, and then I made a ham too, like a backup was a ham. Just because, you know, with kids, they don't always like it. And the ham was a hit as well. Hams are so much easier, right? They're like pre-cooked. You put this drizzle on, and then like 15 minutes later, it's perfectly encrusted, and that thing was great too. Jay Stu, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty amazing in that I stayed disciplined. I almost never stay disciplined when it comes to this stuff, and I feel really good right now. Like, I thought I would show up to this shift today a little, I don't know, engorged and needing to deal with it all day. But I feel good right now. I couldn't be in a better frame of mind to start this Dan Patrick Show, to be honest, Doug.
Wait, so you maintain, you're talking about like your diet?
I overeat, and that's always been an issue of mine. And my sweet tooth, I stuck to just two pieces of pumpkin pie. And for me, that's doing a very light dessert. And I think that's why I'm feeling so good right now.
I did not do dessert. I did eat, but my problem was I was cooking and with my kids and with my mom, and we were picking all day. And so that would be where, you know, like that would be where I'm still full. You know, last night, I finally got my daughter to watch The Sixth Sense with me. One of my daughters. I love that movie. Here's what I love about that movie. I just love how people's brain works when they're watching the movie. Me, I was completely surprised by the ending. And I know it's like 25 years old. But I know other people that they know the ending before. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know what happens here. And so I just, that was really my purpose for it. Anyway, my point was, like, she breaks out some Cheetos, some, you know, kids. I don't know if Jay, I mean, your son, he's like my kid's age, right? He's old enough. I don't know if he does this. They eat these hot Cheetos. Like, dude, I can't eat that crap. Anyway, I was like, how are you possibly eating more food? I can't eat for a week. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of hungry. Anyway, she said she sort of knew, but didn't know. She didn't guess it out loud. Anyway, let's get to what you were talking about, Dan, where, for people who don't know, Dan Beyer, avid, rabid Seahawks fan. And why don't we work backwards? Because I want to talk about the Cowboys. I want to talk about the Packers more than the Lions. But it's one of those, and, you know, I know there's recency bias, but can we come to any sort of conclusion that the Niners' best is the best in the league? Like, are you okay with that, Dan Beyer?
I am on board with that, yes. When they are at the top of their game, no one beats them. Their best beats your best.
When they're healthy.
Yeah, yeah. And that would be, that would be their best. Every team's got injuries, but when the Niners are cooking, there is not a team in the NFL that can beat them.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think they thought that last year. And it feels like they've gotten better because now they've had McCaffrey for a longer period of time. They've been able to tweak some things offensively. Now they are without their safety for the rest of the season. So that we'll see how that affects them. You know, if in fact they play, for example, the Eagles, I think the big challenge is going to be, you know, who can avoid playing both the Cowboys and the Eagles? Right? Like, it makes sense that I all of us, I think, are still of the premise that the Cowboys are a notch below. I think the Cowboys are a notch below the Niners. And, of course, we saw them when they played earlier this year. And Dak didn't play well. Maybe Dak plays better. It's a closer game. But if you're the Niners, can you avoid playing the Cowboys and Eagles in back-to-back weeks? That's going to be the challenge, right? And I don't. In terms of playoffs, we still don't know. There's a lot of games to be played. Right now, the Eagles are the number one seed. San Francisco's the number two seed. Dallas will be the four seed as of now. Detroit at the three. But a lot of dust. I think that's the real challenge here is I believe they're better than the Cowboys. I believe they're better than the Eagles when they're healthy. I don't know if you can beat the Cowboys and the Eagles in successive weeks if all things are equal. Just the attrition of it. That's the only thing holding me back is injuries made them look beatable this year, and the likelihood of injuries and wear and tear if you play those two games in back-to-back weeks. I don't like the Lions. What you saw from the Lions yesterday is I think what you're going to get. They have a very good offensive line. Their quarterback is, you know, obviously yesterday he wasn't, but he's steady and gets rid of the ball. He's Matt Ryan 2.0. I can't remember who said that earlier this year, but that's what he is. And the defense isn't great. And they do a lot based upon effort. I think they execute pretty well. They're kind of, to me, they're comprised differently, but I think a lot of what they do is a lot like the Tennessee Titans, where they're going to be good in the regular season. You know, they play super hard. They get more out of their talent than maybe they should, but they're not going to a Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions aren't going to Super Bowl, much like the Titans, not this year, but in previous years, where they'd be a nuisance in the regular season. Maybe they'd win a game in the postseason. But at the end of the day, Ryan Tannehill, limited offense, you're just not winning games in the postseason. That's how I view the Lions. So anyway, let me circle back around. I think that the challenge to the Niners is, man, can they beat the Cowboys and Eagles in successive weeks in the playoffs?
Well, the good news is, Doug, at least for San Francisco in this scenario, is if they end up overtaking the Lions, and even if they don't, the Cowboys would be the five seed if the Eagles win the division. So what happened last year was the Giants went and beat Minnesota. So the Giants, who were the sixth seed, actually then faced top-seeded Philadelphia. So that's how the Cowboys fell in the Niners' lap. And this year, I don't think any of the – I mean, the Seahawks right now are in the playoff picture, but there is a decent chance they don't make the postseason. And I'm not sure any of the other teams in the NFC would be able to pull the upset over the Lions or over the Niners or, you know, to change the bracket. You would actually basically have to beat the Lions, and that would allow the Cowboys and the Niners to face off if the Eagles were to get the number one seed. And I just don't think that those other teams in the league are good enough. So that bracket could hold up in that way. But, yeah, I agree with you that the Cowboys right now, for as great as they're playing, they're beating a bunch of bad teams, and you still have to get over that hump of beating a really, really good team. They'll get a chance against the Eagles in a couple of weeks, but you have to get over that hump.
Yeah, and look, there's the thing, the difference in the NFC and the AFC is there's just a clear separation between the three best teams and everybody else. Right? And I know record-wise you sit there and go the Lions, and maybe we're overreacting to yesterday, but I don't think so. I think those are the three absolute
really?
Best teams.
I'm still believing the Lions in the fact that I just think they got into this dog days of summer part of the season. I think the season is so long right now that you just kind of, you'll hit this bit of a rut for a couple of weeks. And I think the Lions are in it right now. I for some reason, I just feel that they still have something. I don't know.
How do you explain the Baltimore game?
I thought that that was a one-off. And so now so maybe the rut went a little bit longer than I thought. I think they'll come out of the tunnel. I do think that they have pieces offensively, defensively. Yeah, it just isn't, you know, they had two division opponents this past week. Maybe it was just a bad week.
Okay. Do you believe in the Packers now?
No, but I do. I am impressed with how they played yesterday. They could have just as well lost to the Chargers last week.
No doubt. People miss on that. Now, the Lions could have lost to the Chargers, too, by the way. But they didn't because they're the Chargers. But anyway.
Sure. Sure. But that road win better than the, I think, Packers home win that they had last week. Green Bay is in a spot right now where they very well could make the postseason with the Seahawks faltering. And I don't know if the Falcons or Rams are going to be able to pressure them. But I would say in a rematch of Detroit against Green Bay, I would still pick Detroit.
Yeah, no question there. But I think I'm just of the mindset there's a clear separation in the NFC.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
The Niners, Eagles, Cowboys are much better than everybody else. And so that's why we're seeing the scores that we're seeing. I don't know if it's as much indicative of the Cowboys being that good as much as the middle to bottom of the NFC being that bad. That would be my, and I think that if you look, that's one of the reasons, for example, the AFC North, why all three of those teams have above 500 records, despite the fact that three of them have lost their quarterback two of them lost their quarterback for the year, and the other one's got Kenny Pickett. Right? It's because of who they cross over against, right? They're just beating the tar off of the NFC teams they cross over against. I don't know. The takeaway is the Niners' best is the best, and that creates obviously expectations. They walk in with a ton of confidence, but it also is one of those, if they don't do it this year, last year, how many times have they been knocking at the door? And last year, obviously, I mean, you can't plan for that. You go through four quarterbacks, you know, on your way to losing in Philadelphia. But if you don't do it this year, how long can you keep this collection of talented players together? Because at some point, one, everybody wants too much money, but two, I mean, you're going to have to pay your quarterback at some point. That's really kind of the secret to it. They pay their quarterbacks nothing. And they've drafted really well. And they also, it's a unique way in which this team has been built, right? When Garoppolo got hurt, they were terrible. And they drafted incredibly well. They got Nick Bosa, and then they got Deebo Samuel. That's the same draft, and they were still putting together a really good roster, and now they added two absolute stars, you know, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, and then, you know, an elite, I don't know if you want to call him wide receiver, just playmaker in Deebo Samuel. So they've had a couple of things go their way while other things have not. Injuries have befell them season after season, and, you know, some quarterback play issues, but most of those were injuries. But those injuries one time, you know, gave them a chance to draft so well. And now the injuries last year obviously hurt them from beating the Eagles, but it's the, and but they found this kind of diamond in the rough in a quarterback that makes zero money. I mean, that's when you combine guy when you compare a team and a roster, like, how have they been able to put this together? It's so glaringly obvious, right? That one, drafted pretty relatively well, very well in some spots, but two, I mean, you have a quarterback making less than $1 million and other people have quarterbacks making, you know, on the books for $60, $70 million against the cap this year. Of course, that's why you can build a better roster. Of course.
They're also best players at certain positions are best in the league.
Yes.
Trent Williams, best left tackle. Christian McCaffrey, best running back.
Yes.
Fred Warner, best linebacker. Nick Bosa, maybe best pass rusher. Like, they're best of the best in a lot of spots. And then you, listen, you hit on Brandon Ayuk, and I know he's a first-round pick, but not all first-round picks end up cashing in. You know, you're just talking about the success of Bosa and Deebo Samuel. You know, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay wanted Brandon Ayuk, and boy, what a difference that would have made. So they've also, you know, they've made other selections that have worked. And, by the way, it does help when you can make the deals to bring in Christian McCaffrey,
yeah.
Chase Young. You know, they brought in Randy Gregory earlier this season. And so you're getting after the quarterback. It's really amazing, but still, they, to your point, they do have to get over that hump of beating Philadelphia, because it was not a given that even if Brock Purdy was healthy, they would have beaten Philadelphia last year.
No, they believe they would have, but it hasn't actually happened. By the way, Chris Perfett is on the ones and twos today. For people who don't know, he hosts a Lions pod. Where are you on your team today?
So I think Dan was onto something. As far as the Baltimore game, I feel like that was a lot more on the defense. I actually thought the defense wasn't their main problem on the Thanksgiving game. Like, they, it looks bad at the first thing because they gave up two touchdowns quick, but then they only had 9 points after that, and the offense just completely fell apart. I think they were like 7 for 15 on third down conversions. So they were in 15 third downs. Then they're 1 for 5 on fourth down conversions. The offense really just, I think, was the bigger problem there. We've now had two games of Jared Goff looking very shaky with ball security, and the pass protection obviously didn't help him at all there. I still think, I want to say it's a small stretch for them and they'll get it right. I almost feel like this game was probably what they needed, because they escaped with a lot of these same problems from the Bears game. But I feel like after you take this loss, you get a guy like Dan Campbell who can, you know, kick these guys in the teeth a little bit and wake everyone up from the issues they've been having. So,
but look, are we really going to retract what we all think of Jared Goff? Right?
He had an unbelievable stretch with no turnovers. Now he's hitting the
bad
stretch.
But listen,
not really.
Like, the no turnovers is because he won't let it rip. Right, the whole reason the Rams moved on was they were just frustrated that they'd dial stuff up and he'd go dump it off, and he just wouldn't let it rip. And some of the things he couldn't see developing, and that's it. I mean, again, I'm not saying he's bad, but there's just a ceiling there. And I mean, you hold forever. I think people are going to sit there and go, like, dude, you hold Tom Brady to 14 points and you can't win the Super Bowl. And that's the Rams will mutter to themselves as they walk around their offices on a daily basis. If we didn't have Jared Goff, only because he's super, super conservative. And so they're not turning it over, while it's important. And obviously, you know, it's the old board games are lost and won, and turnovers are the easiest way to, there's just a limit to who he is, you know? And I thought the Matt Ryan comparison was perfect. Because he's good. He's not bad. He's not a bad quarterback. He's not a bad human being. He doesn't throw a bad ball. He's just not great. He's just not one of those other dudes. And when they get behind early against the Ravens, they get behind early yesterday, like, that's just not a guy that's gonna load everybody up and go win a game for you.
I will say two quick things about the Lions. I do agree on the defense portion, because that is also what turned around their season last year. They actually had a formidable defense in the second half of last year. The other thing is in the reality is, for as great of a story as they are, they don't live in the same world as Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Dallas in expectations.
They're a clear tier down. They want to win a playoff game this year, but they're not for the Super Bowl yet.
Yeah, that's the point. Like the expectations, the pressure of those three other teams are not what the Lions are feeling.
No question. But part of that is because the talent is so much better on those three teams. I think we're all in agreement. Like the other three teams are better. I think we'd all put the Cowboys as a third of those three. Am I wrong? Okay. And then the Lions are the best of the rest. It's a great story, but I think, you know, when you play the elites of the league or even you play on a standalone game and you look like that, you start to go like, you know, they're really good. It's fun. It's awesome. Dan Campbell's turn this thing around, but turning it around does not make you a Super Bowl contender.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Doug Gottlieb, In for Dan Patrick and Dan the Danettes. Dan Beyer alongside. So too is Jason Stewart, Chris Perfett. I guess I can be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas. Huh? You're driving along going like, you know, I did not think Doug Gottlieb would be the first one to wish me a Merry Christmas, but it did just happen. Let's welcome in Charles Robinson, who covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. He's a senior NFL writer, co-host of the Zero Blitz podcast. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, Charles. We'll work backwards the same way we kind of are on the show. The Niners' best is better than everyone else's best. Are you okay with that statement?
It feels that way right now. You know, since they've gotten healthy, I think the additions at the bringing in Chase Young at the trade deadline, I think what they have, their sack numbers are off the charts the last three games. I think they have 18 sacks the last three games, something in that neighborhood. Maybe it was 18 the first eight and 14 in the last three, something like that. And, you know, I think Randy Gregory coming in, I think the ability to rotate, once again, health, you know, McCaffrey being, you know, pretty close to fully healthy, Deebo Samuel being on the field. You can see the difference it's made with Purdy. It's, you know, when they're clicking, it feels like that's the best team in football. It just does. But I just wonder how susceptible they really are when those injuries hit. You know, if you have issues on the line again, if Deebo goes down again, that's one guy, the X factor guy there. I hate to use that cliche, but it's true. It feels like a different offense when he's not on that field. I mean, I'm talking the running game feels different. The passing game feels different. But yeah, I mean, they're best. And when they're playing like they played, on Thursday, I mean, I don't know what team out there is, especially defensively up front, able to handle, you know, that kind of pressure. It's unbelievable what they were able to add, you know, after they're going into the trade deadline. You know, it was already a strength. And it's going to be, I think it's got a chance by the end of the season to be one of the most dominant defensive lines we've seen in football.
I can't believe other teams do deals with them. It's crazy. Along the same lines, Charles, what does Kyle Shanahan need to do to get over that hump? Because there is the narrative when we get down to winning time, whether it be with the Falcons or Super Bowl 54, what does he need to do differently?
Stay complimentary. You know, I think that's the, I hate to go back to the Falcons game, but we all remember that. You know, he's throwing the ball too much. Like, it felt like a game they had in hand, and all he had to do was play complimentary football. And I feel like Kyle gets on tilt sometimes, and in terms of his play calling. And the thing about the Niners that's so crazy is the surrounding roster around Purdy is as stacked as anything Kyle's ever had, and it's deep, it's talented. The options that they have on offense, the way that they can win football games, it's as varied as I think any offense Kyle has ever overseen. And so to me, I think it's just don't get, and he's talked about this, don't get in love with when Brock Purdy has these hot streaks. I remember talking to Kyle at one point, and he made the joke about, like, you know, I have to keep myself from wanting to throw it 50 times a game with him. And to me, that speaks to maybe what Kyle's learned in the past, is that when he gets a little more one-dimensional as a play caller, that's when they'll run into some trouble in the postseason. And he has a team now where he shouldn't. As long as there's no injuries, I don't want to say no injuries, but as long as there's some massive spate of injuries, he's got the depth. I would say the one thing that could change this pretty quickly is you can't lose McCaffrey. He's such a significant piece of that offense, the way that he's playing right now. They just don't have anyone that can really replace him in terms of not only the versatility, but, you know, some of the leadership qualities, the toughness that he brings to the table. He really is. I think he's probably the only running back in a long time that's deserved to be in the MVP conversation.
And he's staying healthy. I mean, it's crazy. Charles Robinson joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, in for the Dan Patrick Show. He's Doug Gottlieb. I'm Dan Beyer. Seahawks side of things. I feel the lack of success last year from the Broncos and the Seahawks playoff appearance made it seem like everything was right in Seattle. Doesn't right. seem like it's right now. What is the issue for a team that I don't know what they do well right now, Charles? What's the issue with Pete Carroll's Seahawks?
Well, they don't run the football as consistently as what I think Pete would like. You know, I think Pete would like to have the two running back rotations fully healthy. I think the offensive line's got to play better. You know, Geno Smith, that's as frustrated as I've seen him in a while. That's the Geno that, and I think it's okay. You know, he's always kind of been a fiery guy. So when things aren't going great, you know, you'll see sideline conversations have, you know, you'll see him have sideline conversations as we did, I think, on Thursday, and there will be some heat. But, you know, the drops, the DK Metcalf drops were a little troubling. And I think it's when he's not effective, they're not going to be an effective offense. They're not going to win football games. I mean, it's got potential to be a really, really good defense. They're really young, especially, you know, I think in the, you know, the years moving forward. But they got to get the offensive line settled down, and they have to figure out with the two running back rotation, can they keep those guys healthy? And, you know, that's what to me is going to keep Geno consistent. We're going to keep talking about Geno, though. And I hate to do it to him because he's turned his career around so nicely in Seattle, but I still think he is a quarterback that you don't want to shift the entire offensive load on him and you know, expect it to be perfect. He's got to have the running game, and I know that's what they want, and it's just right now they've lost that ability, and then he's got big-time players dropping passes, and you're seeing some of the ineffectiveness throwing the football, and I think that changes, you know, what they look like as an offense, and it puts too much burden on the defense. So
to quote, yeah, to quote the late, great Denny Green, he is who he thought he was.
Come on. Are we going to do that to Geno?
Yes. Yes. We have a decade of data, and we have one outlier year. He is who he thought he was. Let's get to the Commanders, because it's easy to talk about the Cowboys. It's much more fun to talk about the Commanders. They're going to completely start over, are they not? I mean, this has to be a scrap it and start over. New owner, new everything. Hell, they may go new logo as well. I mean, isn't this just a start, scrape it and start over?
It's hard to see how Ron Rivera survives this. Like I think now, I was thinking about this last night. I'm like, I wonder if there's the Jack Del Rio change down the stretch to, I don't know, rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, it's what can you really do? I think to change the backslide that they've had, and you know, in the division when you're 0-5, and that's a tough division. You've taken away two defensive ends that mattered. The front of your defense looks just absolutely as ineffective as I think they've ever looked against the Cowboys, and then when I watch them, Sam Howell, I don't know how you can play quarterback the way that he does and survive. And I think some people lean into him because they say, look at the passing yardage. He just takes, the punishment he takes is insane. And so much of it is predicated on how he plays the position. You have to be able to get rid of the football. You have to be able to at one point he took a sack, a hard sack yesterday, and he patted the ball a couple of times right before he took the sack, and you're like, dude, how are you doing this right now? Like, you have to be aware of, you know, just how you're playing the position. I agree. I think there's an element there. If you're going to change the head coach, you're going to have to take a long, hard look at Howell and whether you want to address the quarterback position, because it's going to be a good quarterback draft. I don't know how you, and then the defensive ends that you expect to keep one of those guys, Sweat and Chase Young, and you have neither moving forward. There's an element there that does feel like there's going to be a massive spate of turnover this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. What about Dak? You know, this is a contract year. He's obviously after the Niners debacle, he's played incredible football at times. But this is inside the league. That's what you do. Charles Robinson joined us, Yahoo Sports, our senior reporter. He has the Zero Blitz podcast. you know people inside the league. Has their opinion of Dak changed?
I think people feel like he's playing his cleanest football of his career. I mean, especially when you look back at the last several games. I mean, is what, 18 touchdowns, two interceptions, and I want to say like four games, maybe five games. And, you know, first off, the contract, from what I understand, the Cowboys have indicated to them, like, there's not going to be any problem getting this deal done. Like, Dak's camp's not panicking about anything. So I don't think anybody really surrounding that's even worried about the contract. They feel like an extension's going to get done pretty easily. But, you know, people are talking about whether or not the Cowboys can beat winning teams for a reason. You know, you really, it's the next stretch to me. If we're going to talk about, like, is Dak, I hear people saying, well, it's, you know, he's probably an MVP candidate, and you know, this extension is going to be a new, you know, record contract and all these things. I'm like, all right, well, let's see. Get Seattle, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Miami, and Detroit in your next five. That is going to determine probably some of the MVP race. It's going to determine some seeding, I think. And you got to get the Philly loss off your back. You got to get the San Francisco loss off your back. You have to go in the next five games. I don't think. If you have a sub 500 record in that next five games, people are going to look at you and say, this is sort of the same old Dallas that we've always seen. They can't, you know, beat the best teams, you know, in the NFC. They can't arrive when they need to, or hit their stride when they need to, and then win a big playoff game or make a push to the Super Bowl. It's a lot of the same conversation. Dak's been great this year. I don't want to take anything away from him. I do think he deserves to be in the MVP conversation. But I think the next five games, to me, is going to say a lot about where they stand in the NFC and where he stands in the MVP race.
Are we seeing Jordan Love turn a corner with the Packers?
Feels like it. Yeah. Doesn't it feel like it?
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple of times live this year, and it was very inconsistent performances, but I mean, I think his confidence looks so much better as the season's gone on. He's taking shots that I think earlier in the season you saw some reticence when it came to like turnovers. But if he can figure out how to work Christian Watson in this offense, who I think is got so much talent, but he's always felt like such a boom or bust player. But he's throwing to him confidently. He's working with what's crazy about that offense. You look at the surrounding skill position pieces. And you go back to like Aaron Rodgers' first year as a full-time starter with the Packers. The numbers are very comparable, and even sort of the build when you watch how Jordan Love has progressed this season, it's also very comparable to what Rodgers did his first year as a full-time starter. But if you look at the pieces around Rodgers, he had a ton of veteran talent around him helping him get over that hump. It's been completely different for Jordan Love. It's all rookie and second-year players that he's throwing the football to. There's injuries in the backfield. There's injuries on the offensive line. And yet, I think as you know, you said, the season's progressed. He's turned a corner, and I think they got to feel great about, especially his last couple of games. What a monumental win for Brian Gutekunst. If he comes out of the season the way they did with Rodgers that first year as a full-time starter, they were like, we know we got our guy. Now we just got to figure out how to keep this progress going and build out the rest of the team around him. That's sort of what the Packers are looking at with Love right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't hurt that Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Not that he'd wish it upon anybody, but...
That's a good point.
You know, it's one of the risks you run when you get an older player, and then he got hurt four plays in. Charles, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter. He's just stud. He does a great job. He's got that Zero Bits podcast. I'm Doug Gottlieb. He's Dan Beyer. We're in for Dan, the Danettes. Coming up on the Dan Patrick Show, I'm sure a lot of you saw this. Greg Popovich grabbed the mic and scolded his own fans about booing Kawhi Leonard. We'll discuss that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Good morning to you. Yeah, I'll go Merry Christmas. Doug Gottlieb, my man Dan Beyer, my dear friend Jason Stewart, of course, Chris Perfett, laying down the jams. Laying down the jams. There's been a lot of other stories over the past couple of days. I know, Dan, you filled in for me yesterday, right? You and Aaron Torres. So, but, you know, Thanksgiving, and I got to tell you, this is the first Thanksgiving I've really been guilty of it. Yes, there's a NBA story that everybody has been talking about. We'll get to that upcoming in the show. But this other NBA story was people were talking about it two nights ago, where the Spurs are playing the Clippers. And the Spurs, of course, have Victor Wembanyama, but they're not particularly good. The Clippers have been good, but have hit their ceiling the past couple of years. And some of it has been Kawhi Leonard's injuries, as well as others. And Greg Popovich grabbed the mic and told the fans not to boo when Kawhi Leonard was at the free throw line.
Kawhi with 8 points tonight, 3 of 5 from the floor. It is only three.
Excuse me for a second.
Pops on the mic.
Can we stop all the booing and let these guys play? It's got no class. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
I'm telling the fans to lay off Kawhi Leonard, but that's not San Antonio.
So the Clippers were going on to win 109 102. By the way, Kawhi had 26 in the game. Victor Wembanyama had 22 and 15 in the game. So there's your box score update. Dan, let me just, I think you know my opinion, but I want yours. I value yours. What do you think?
A little too much. There have been other spots we've seen this in sports. I felt that this was more self-gratifying for Popovich than it actually being a real problem.
I would agree with you there. It wasn't like, I mean, when Kevin Durant went back to Oklahoma City, and as you know, like, I'm actually going to be in Oklahoma all week. I just thought it was just ridiculous. The vitriol, I understood it, right? They just lost after having a 3-1 series lead, and he joined a team that had won, you know, 73 games and won an NBA title a couple years previous. Like, I get it. I almost wish that Pop would have gone full Mike Krzyzewski, where and the background is this. I think it's not last year, it's the year before, right? Because Coach K didn't coach last year. Year before, Duke is playing Pitt. Pitt is coached by Jeff Capel. Jeff Capel was his point guard. Honestly, Jeff Capel was actually his point guard on a team where he didn't coach. That was the back surgery. That was the worst year that Duke ever had in the Mike Krzyzewski era. It doesn't count against his record. But the point was that he scolded the students. He scolded the Cameron Crazy. He said, he's one of us. Like, he'll stop this. He's one of us. And I also thought that, I think that Pop could have, instead of just saying, like, don't boo these guys, just go like, hey, Kawhi Leonard is one of us. He won us an NBA title as a finals MVP. You can do not boo him. Again, is it a little too much? Yeah, I do think he made a deal out of something that wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't like they were burning him in effigy. It wasn't like it was merciless booing. There were boos. There's also, like, guys get to the line and some random player will get the MVP chant because he's having a good game. Like, Austin Reeves got the MVP chant at times last year at Laker games. Like, are we going to react to every chant when a guy's
booing is the least, like, worst thing you could do. Like, there are so many other things that you could yell or scream or do. And booing is, gosh, it's a part of sports. I mean, it truly is. And to have that, if they boo Kawhi Leonard, they boo Kawhi Leonard. You know, it's the bed that Kawhi made. I mean, I don't think that Pop actually had the right to do it. And in fact, I think the fans felt the same as well, because maybe they didn't understand what was going on, but there were some that continued to boo and some that were even louder. I mean, Sam Weiss did it best when he, and this is the game against the Seahawks in the late 80s. Remember this, Doug? Mm-hmm. Sam Weiss.
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything onto this field, point them out, and get them out of here? You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Chicago.
So they were throwing stuff on the field that was affecting the game. And not only that, Weiss took the opportunity to take a shot at Cleveland when they weren't even playing the Browns. Like that's the master class at doing it. Like, that was, and Popovich just doesn't seem like it did anything. It's harmless booing.
Had to be something else to it, right? It was like, it's like a nothing burger game. Obviously, Kawhi, it had to be something else to it. It wasn't so bad or that big a deal that it was worthy of it. I understood why he did it. And I've seen, you know, Dean Smith used to not like people to wave behind the basket when you shoot a free throw. Bob Knight, same thing, right? There's a fan decorum that they didn't believe in, that sort of fan decorum. Like, I get it. What you've seen, the knives you've seen come out from media people, like, oh, Pop Street, all of us like crap for years. Now all of a sudden, you know, he wants to tell people how to treat people. That part's a little rich for me. Everybody's taking their grandiose stand. With Dan Byer, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Coming up on the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, is Jordan Love good enough? I think we might be changing our answer. That's next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.